Some of the saddest words of the Christmas story are these words. And there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that so sad? I think many of you are acquainted with a Mexican custom that they do, and they're doing here. I saw it in a bulletin. They're going to do it here called Las Posadas. Posada is a Spanish word for an inn or a place of lodging or a motel, some place that's safe and clean and warm. And so the Las Posadas is acting out that story of Mary and Joseph, with Mary almost ready to give birth, seeking a place for them to stay overnight, especially when she's almost ready to have a baby. And so they act this out. Some do it down the street with different houses, knocking on doors, others in the church. But there's some on the outside, the Holy Family, seeking entrance on the inside. And they knock. And Joseph says, "My wife is pregnant. We're about to have a baby. Please, is there any place we can stay?" And the answer from the inside, "There's no room. We're all filled up. Sorry." So they go to the next door and they ask for lodging, and they get the same rejection. "Don't bother us. We don't have any place. Look someplace else." So they go to several, and finally, the last one says, "Come on in." But you know what they're coming into? A stable, a dirty, smelly, cold place for animals, very little protection, but it's the only place they have. And when that happens, the doors open in these Las Posadas, they celebrate and rejoice because we have a place. It was a dirty stable, but when Jesus was born there, it was a cathedral. It became a sanctuary, so beautiful and so grand because Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born there. Those would be the most terrible words for us at Christmas if there was no room in our inn, in our heart, in our lives, in our family. That would be the worst possible Christmas. When the Savior comes, we say, oh, come, Emmanuel. Well, we don't have to say come. He's going to come. He wants to come. He wants to save us. The problem is we don't let him in. We don't receive him. We have sins obstructing his way. And we hear St. John the Baptist said, "Make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare for him. Bring down the valleys of pride and selfishness and luria, greediness and all that. And fill up the valleys of omission, the sins of omission, and smooth out the way." So a good confession is a recommended thing for every Catholic. In fact, you're going to have one here. I heard it announced 5 times already today. There's a penance service here, 13 priests. Wow, you don't have to wait in line that long. You got all these priests around. So that's a wonderful opportunity, and you have a lot of choice. So that's a wonderful way to make room in our heart, make room in our heart and our lives. Some say, "I don't have room in my schedule. It's too full." Or, "I don't have room in my budget." Or, "I don't have time for that kind of thing." So we have all kinds of excuses. Now I come to talk about children, the child Jesus, living in the children of today. There's two wonderful tables back there, large tables, that are filled with folders like this. Folders with pictures of children and a few elderly from about 18 different countries. I don't know if you have all 18 there, but many, many. These are pictures of poor children who are seeking a sponsor. They're seeking a home. They're seeking a safe place to stay. And we hope it's with you, sponsors here in St. Lucie's Parish. Some of you are probably sponsors already. 3 years ago, a friend of mine Father Jerry Hackenmiller from Minnesota. It's even colder than Kansas, which is twice as cold as here. He came and he got many, many sponsors from this parish. Very generous. So 3 years later, they said, you go back to that St. Lucie's place because they are very generous people. And there's probably some that didn't have an opportunity to sponsor or weren't around, or maybe someone to sponsor again. So here I am to share the good news. So these are the child Jesus. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. And these children are seeking a home in our hearts. They're seeking a friendship with us that we can give them a hand and they can continue studying well in school. So what does a sponsor do? A sponsor has three duties. One is prayer. One is to be a friend. And a third one is to share a little money each month. Every sponsored person prays for us sponsors and we pray for them. So that's the first thing. We become prayer partners. We pray for one another that we live like Jesus with generous and open hearts and receive those who are seeking lodging in our hearts, in our lives, in our love. And ultimately, we're praying for one another. We get to heaven. Isn't that where we're going? Maybe some of you aren't, but anyway, I don't know what we're doing here if we're not trying to get to heaven. But that's our ultimate destiny. So it's an eternal blessing praying for one another if we believe in the power of prayer. The second duty, to be a friend. We become friends because every sponsored person writes at least two letters a year. If they don't, they get knocked out of the program. They have to. Three. Some write more often. And they send a new photo of themselves every year. We just see them grow year after year, like we do our own children or grandchildren. So it's a beautiful thing. And we sponsors are encouraged to write back. We don't have to, but it's a wonderful thing. My first years of sponsoring, I didn't write. I said, well, I get my money, and that's about it, wasn't it? And I didn't learn about the prayer deal, and I didn't realize how important letter writing is to them. I don't like to write letters. Many of us don't. Email makes it a little easier. We can do that. But I met people that say when they get a letter from someone in the United States of America, it's a big deal. When they've never known anybody outside the country, and they said, this person doesn't even know me. They're praying for me. They're sharing money for me. They're taking time to write a letter to me. Wow, that's the most precious Christmas gift they could ever have. And I've seen teenagers that were weeping because they didn't get a letter. Their friends did. And their friends were rejoicing and they weren't. But anyway, so the letter writing is a beautiful part of this. Get your kids to write the letters. You write the checks and everything will go fine. The third duty of a sponsor is to send money. To send a $36, minimum 36, some send 40, others more, every month to Kansas City. That's the headquarters of Unbound in the United States. You know, a beautiful thing about that is, of that $36, Kansas City only spends four of those dollars. $4 for all the administration costs here in the United States. That's extremely efficient. Extremely efficient. Because of that, you may not know about Charity Watch and Charity Navigator. We should learn about those groups. They're watchdog organizations of all the charities in the United States. They study us all and they give us a grade. They give Unbound the highest grades, A+ and 4 stars, because we're so efficient and because we do what we say we do. So you have confidence that when your money is spent well and it does what we say it does. And that means a lot in time when there's so many shams and scams and people trying to take advantage of good-hearted people. The rest of the money Kansas City sends to the country of your sponsored child or elderly. We work in 18 different countries, most of Central and South America, India, the Philippines, and 4 countries of Africa. Each of these countries has many projects. A project is a community of sponsored families. They have a coordinator or coordinators from those countries responsible for this. I mean, that's their full-time job. It's a big job. They get their little cut out of this, too, to pay their salaries. But they know all the families. They're in constant communication. They know what they need. They receive the money and purchase and provide for the families. Now they are taking a step further. They're giving them vouchers. Some are giving vouchers. Others are doing some efforts that are quite successful, helping to establish bank accounts and budget their money and save a little bit and let them have more freedom. That's respecting their dignity, their freedom to purchase what they want and when they want it. And they're monitored, and they're finding they really spend their money well. So what's the money spent for? School. Education, first of all. Number one, education is the most important door out of poverty. So the money is spent for school supplies, for shoes, for uniforms. The most public schools in these countries demand uniforms. The parents must purchase it. It's spent for transportation, for nourishing food, for medical care, whatever is needed by the family. I remember in El Salvador, I was there a few years ago with some other preachers of Unbound, and we were visiting some sponsored families, and our question to them is, what difference does sponsorship make in your family, in your life? And it was beautiful to hear them answer. But I remember so distinctly one family said, we are so happy our roof doesn't leak anymore. They had a two-room shack. That's all it was. But it had a tin roof, and it was rusty and had holes in it, and rain would come in the house every time. And with the money of the sponsor, they were able to provide new sheets of tin, and their house was leakage-free, and they were so pleased. That's a good example where the whole family benefits. We're not just helping a child. We're helping a family. So we see it as a family-to-family ministry. It's beautiful. So after Mass, you'll have a chance to go to our two tables. Now, there's a photo of each one, and you notice the difference. This is gold colored. You're not so colorblind. You know these are two different colors. This is gold. It's written in English. This is blue. It's written in Spanish. So if you don't know Spanish, you can ignore the blue ones. Stick with the gold. If you're bilingual, they tell me many people here are bilingual. You have a bigger choice. Anyway, below the picture is, this says, my name is Carlos. I'm a 12-year-old boy from Philippines. My birthday is October 25th. There's just a little more information on the inside. This one says, my name is Jaime. I'm a niño, a little boy, 8 years old from Guatemala, and my birthday is March the 25th. So you get basic information on the outside and just a little more on the inside. I sponsor two young people. I sponsor Kimberly, a 15-year-old girl from El Salvador. She wants to be a teacher. She gets these little older kids. They already know where they want to go, and that's beautiful. And she sings in a choir in her parish, and her family is very much involved in a church. Sadamu is my other man, my man. He's 21 years of age. He's from Uganda, Africa. Sadamu is 21 years of age. He's studying engineering in the university, and he writes some beautiful letters. I'll quote a couple lines from him. He said, life is tough. Life is difficult for me and my family. There's eight children, eight young people. But he said, you have resurrected all my hope. Well, that's an obvious exaggeration. Only Jesus Christ can resurrect all our hope. But what a strong way to say hope, esperanza, hope is the greatest gift we give when we sponsor a child or an elderly. Without hope, nothing is possible. With hope, everything is possible. That's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And he ended his letter by saying, I cannot go to bed at night without praying for you because you're helping the poor. That prayer for us, that gratitude in their heart for anyone that does anything positive for them. So we sponsors, and some of you are that, you know, we are blessed. We receive and we give. We come to know and love and serve Jesus who lives in one another, and we become holy. That's the way to the salvation, sanctify our lives with the Lord Jesus in our midst. How long do you sponsor? A good question. For children and young people, it's while they're in school. If they drop out of school or graduate, they begin working, that ends the sponsorship. If they fulfill all duties of writing letters and coming to the meetings, they have meetings of the parents, and it's a beautiful thing that is too. For the elderly, I should explain the elderly a little bit. We didn't begin sponsoring elderly, but we found out very soon there were many elderly that needed sponsoring. And our coordinators in the field said, we need to sponsor some elderly that they're forgotten, abandoned, or they're from very poor families. They can't take care of them. So we have about 10% of the total are elderly. There's a few back there. So if you have a heart for them, please sponsor them. This is really Jesus. This is Jamie and Carlos, but they could be called Jesus. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. We're all Jesus. What you do for one another. And now I know you're helping the poor here. There's a lot of poor in our country, terribly amount. You got boxes out there, Christmas boxes, your bulletins talk about helping the needy. That's great. That's great. But one man, as an excuse for not sponsoring, he told me, I believe charity begins at home. I said, so does Mother Teresa. And so do I. So does Jesus Christ. But charity doesn't end there. It goes out like the love of Jesus Christ to the whole world. They're all our brothers and sisters. And Pope Francis says, don't just stay with those like you and near you, but open your hearts to those who are different and far away in other countries and bond. And this is a beautiful friendship and bonding that brings genuine peace to the world. So it is so beautiful. So don't have it said there's no room in your inn, in your heart, in your lodging for these children. That's a child, Jesus. These are children, Jesus himself, who are seeking our heart and our mind. And so I thank you so very, very much for your attention, for your generosity, and Father Mark, for inviting me to your parish today. Amen. Hallelujah.